The sermon I'm going to bring tonight is not what I had intended to speak about. I prepared seven sermons, full-length sermons, while we were gone. Spent hours and hours studying. And yet, the sermon I'm going to preach tonight is not one of those. I prepared this one in the last couple of days because I read an article in a Baptist magazine about the pastors in America. The average pastor has been at his church for a little over 9 years in America. Average Baptist pastor, according to this segment of the poll that was taken. And most of the pastors are pastoring in America, well, the biggest decade or segment are pastors between the ages of 30 and 40. And then the second 10-year segment is the pastors between the age of 40 and 50. And then the third, pretty well tied, those between 20 and 30, and those between 60 and 70. Then I was very interested to find out what percentage of the pastors in America were 70 or over in our independent Baptist churches. To my great surprise, 0.5% of the pastors in this segment of independent Baptists, which is a pretty good cross-section, I think. That means out of every 1,000 pastors in America, 5 are over 70. They did not go beyond 70. I don't know how many are over 72, but 5 are over 70. That means if there are 10,000 pastors in America who pastor independent Baptist churches, that's about what I think we'd have in our country, that means only 50 are over 70 years of age. Now, what happens? Do these men just, these men who pastor, do they just not live to be 70? Oh, yes, they do. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. The honest, simple truth is that the rate of falling out of the ministry is unbelievable. The casualty rate of Baptist preachers is unbelievable. It's not that they don't live to be 70. If they don't make it in the ministry until they're 70. I'm going to put my finger tonight on what I believe is the reason that this old man is still going and plans to keep on going. And I want to put my finger tonight on what I think is the main reason. I'm going to read for you without your turning to it my text that was read a while ago. And I read just the one verse. And as thy servant was busy here and there, and that's the title of my message tonight, busy here and there. As thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone. And the king of Israel said unto him, so shall thy judgment be, thyself has decided it. May I tell you exactly what the little story is? Well, I won't tell you in detail, but simply to say this, here is a man who was given custody of a criminal or a prisoner. It was his job to take care to guard, to be the custodian of this man, this criminal. And he came to the king and he said, as thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone. He didn't say, as I was out on a drunken party, he just said, I was busy here and there. He didn't say, I was out in sin. He just said, as I was busy here and there, he was gone. Now tonight, I'm going to give a little rest to those of you who listen to rock music. You will not hear me say one bad word about that stinking stuff tonight. And I'm sure that after I have been gone for 7 services, you have heard enough of that. And you have heard, no doubt, if I know these men, about every sin that you can commit, because most of these men have committed all of those sins. But I'm going to give you a little rest tonight, those of you that watch the television programs you shouldn't be watching. I'm going to give you a rest tonight. Those of you who dress immodestly will rather be given a little respite tonight, and I'm going to talk to the best people here. Now, let me talk to you about the subject, busy here and there. Father, help me as I speak tonight, and I pray you to help the people as they listen. And I pray not for a good sermon. I never do that. I haven't prayed you to help me preach a good sermon in years. I just pray you to help me to be a blessing to the people. And may you do something to rearrange many of our lives tonight. Please. Amen. As I said, here is a man who was given custody to guard a prisoner. And the Bible says he got busy here and there, and the prisoner escaped. This man was no doubt not pursuing unlawful endeavors or acts of sin or committing evil deeds that caused his prisoner to escape. He had just got busy here and there, probably doing good things. I rather think that that's what this man was doing. He was doing good things and got busy here and there, and yet the honest, simple truth is the main task went undone. He did not exchange the good for the bad. He exchanged the best for the good. He was a man that was doing some mighty good things, and yet the charge that had been given to him, he had neglected. Oh, not on purpose. He just got busy here and there. Now, you know, he did exactly what Satan told Eve in the Garden of Eden. Satan said to Eve in the Garden of Eden, he said, now, God hath said, ye shall surely die. But he said, that's not true. He said, if you eat the fruit that God has forbidden you, you shall be as God yourself, knowing good and evil. Or as I've said so often in Bible studies here, ye shall be as God, determining good and evil. He said to Eve, he didn't say to Eve, I want you to do bad. The devil's not concerned tonight with enticing you to doing bad. He's enticing you to doing what good, but what you think is good, you see. That's the devil's favorite trick. He doesn't say, the devil's great product tonight is not the drunk vomiting in the gutter or stumbling into the next rescue mission. The devil's great product tonight is people who do good what they think is good. So the devil said to Eve, I'm not asking you to do bad. I'm not suggesting you become a wicked, dirty sinner. I'm suggesting that you do good. But Eve, if you'll eat this fruit, you'll have a mind alert enough and discernment that's wise enough to decide yourself what is good. That's exactly what this fellow was. He wasn't out doing evil and allowing his prisoner to escape. He was busy here and there, no doubt doing that which was good. He did what the time of the judges did, the worst time of declension in all the life of Israel, when sin prevailed the most. The Bible said every man did that which was right. Didn't say every man did that which was wrong. Every man did that which was right. But it goes on to say, in his own eyes. And that's why America is going to hell tonight. Every man does that which is right in his own eyes. That's why that preachers all across America are going to neighborhoods in America and going from house to house in these new neighborhoods and asking people, what would you like in a church? What would you like in a church? And then these people are giving them things that they like, and that's why they substitute drama for old-fashioned preaching, and that's why they substitute all this kind of dirty, stinking music for the old-fashioned gospel songs. But what would you like? Now, they're not saying, we want to do what is wrong. They're saying, we want to do what you think is right. What every man does right, thinks is right in his own eyes. Now, instead of going from church to from house to house saying, what would you like in the church? Go to the Bible and say to God, what would you like in the church? Now, that's what this man was doing. This man was busy here and there. Again, this man was not out in a rock concert. This man was not going to a Hollywood movie. This man was not down at some gentleman's club. This man was not going to a house of prostitution. This man was not out in some kind of a country club kind of a life. No, this man was doing good things. He got busy here and he got busy there. And in so doing, the prisoner escaped, and that which was his charge was neglected. That's what Isaiah meant when he said in 53rd of Isaiah, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. See, America's going to hell tonight because there's no basis for truth.
There's no foundation for what is right or wrong. You decide what you think is right and wrong. You decide what you think is right and wrong. You decide what you think is right and wrong. You decide what you think is right and wrong. But I've got news for you. There's a God in heaven who's already decided what's right and wrong and put it down in this Bible. So here's a man, again I say, he was not doing that which was wicked and vile. He was not doing that which was unlawful. He was simply going about here and there, busy here and there, and the task to which he was in charge was not done. He did what the priest and the Levite did in Luke chapter 10. When this fellow was beaten up beside the road and thieves had departed, leaving him half dead. And the priest and Levite came by. Now, I have no doubt that these men were going to do something good. These were not men headed for a bachelor's party. These were not men headed for some kind of a wicked outing. These are not men headed to a drunken brawl. These are not men headed to a beach party. These are men who are going to do something good. But here's a fellow beside the road who had been beaten half to death and was beside the road. And these fellows came. One looked at him and passed by. Another passed by on the other side. Now, what were they doing? They were busy doing good here and there. And that's what's going on in America tonight. People are busy here and there, not doing necessary evil, but what they think is good and leaving the best undone. Now, listen carefully. I said a while ago, I'll say it again. The devil, now hear me, this is a statement that some of you won't agree with at first, but you will after a while. The devil would rather you do good than bad. Why? If the devil can get you doing good, but not the good that God intended for you to do. You see, God has a purpose for your life. And the devil hates God, and the devil does not want you fulfilling God's desire for your life. So the devil comes along and says, I'm not suggesting that you become an alcoholic. As I said a while ago, an alcoholic is not the devil's best product, nor his advertisement. The devil's ashamed of alcoholics, but the devil comes and says, I want you to spend your life doing good, and good other than the thing that God put you here for. Now you listen to me carefully. Young people, you have no right to do your own thing. You only have a right to do God's thing. God didn't put you here to do good what you think is good. God has a purpose in your life. God had a job to be done, and God made you to do that job. Now, the devil's trying to get you off of that job. He doesn't care what you do, whether it's good or whether it's bad, or whether it's what you want or somebody else wants. He just does not want you to honor God by doing the will of God for your life. So the devil gets you busy here and there, busy here and there, doing other things than the will of God for your life. And here's the reason. The devil knows you won't repent from doing good. Wake up. We're having church. The devil knows you won't repent from doing good. Not many folks walk down the aisle and repent for doing church work. You may repent because you drink liquor. You may repent because you're not faithful to church. You may repent because you smoke cigarettes. You may repent because you listen to rock music and all of that. But the devil knows if you're busy doing good, you won't repent of that. And he knows you won't come down the aisle and change your life from doing good. So the devil would rather you to do good than bad. And good works are better for him than bad works because they will not convict you of evil that you're doing, and you won't get back to doing what God called you to do from good works like you would from bad works. Now then, many a person, hear me carefully, many a person will stand at a parent's grave, and I want to say that many of you here tonight, many a person will stand at a parent's grave and look in the face of the woman that gave birth to you by entering the jaws of death to give you birth, not to give you life. The woman that taught you to eat and walk and talk and kept you alive and sat guard by you, vigil by you at night to keep you alive when you were sick. And you will stand at the graveside of that woman one of these days and you'll realize that you have not cared properly for your mother. Not because you're busy out in the world. The truth is you're decent people. But you are neglecting your mama, and you'll stand one day and look in her face, and you will have to say, I neglected you, and I'm sorry, mama. I wasn't a bad person. I just got busy here and there. And I don't care what it is that keeps you too busy to take care of your mama and love you. I'm not talking to teenagers now. I'm talking to adults. I'm talking to everybody. I'm simply saying there are thousands of mothers who are up in years tonight who sit alone, and tomorrow morning they'll go to the post office hoping that there's a letter from you. Every time the phone rings, they hope it'll be their son or their daughter calling, and you're neglecting your parents, and some of you folks going about being busy here and there doing good things ought to get back and realize you got a mama who needs some attention. You got a daddy. Some of you folks will stand one of these days at the head of the casket in which your daddy's body shall rest or lie. And you look in his face and you'll have to say, Daddy, I did not care for you like I should. I did not treat you like I should. I'm not talking about mistreatment. I'm not talking about unkind things. I'm not talking about hating your dad. I'm talking about good people, decent people who are neglecting your dad. And you'll have to say, Dad, I was busy here and there. Mrs. Hiles and I, on our cruise, they feed you to death. Dr. Streeter, I hate to tell you this, but you'd be ashamed of me if you'd followed me on this cruise. I didn't eat much pizza, but I ate some. In fact, I'm sure that I cut months off my life, but what a way to do it, man alive. Do you know, let me just stop and say this, you know, that they send you to a dining hall every night. And you can order anything that you want. It's just like going to a five-star restaurant every night. But that isn't all. I hate to say this. Dr. Streeter, there's an emergency call for you. Would you leave the service, please? They have a hot dog stand that's open practically all day. And, by the way, when you pay your price for your cruise, you get all the hot dogs you want, all the hamburgers you want. And, of course, not me. I drank carrot juice the whole trip. It tasted a lot like Diet Coke, but I think it was carrot juice. And then they had an ice cream place. That was open practically all the time. Brother Keith, you'd been in hog heaven, boy, I tell you for sure. And then they had a pizza place that was open an hour every day from 4 to 5. Now, I wouldn't say that we went there, but we did follow the leadership of the Spirit and did what we thought the Spirit. The devil said, you decide what's good and evil. Eat this pizza and you'll be as gods, knowing, determining what's good and evil. We had the dining hall there each evening. Oh, that's not all. They had a buffet in the morning and a brunch at 10:30. And at 10:45 at night, had a midnight snack. I mean, everything. You can't imagine. Every time Ms. Hiles and I see a real fat person, we'll say, I hope she enjoyed her cruise. I hope you enjoyed your cruise. You took a world cruise, didn't you, son? But all that to say this, we had what they called a maitre d', and then they had an assistant maitre d', and he was given a section of that large dining complex just to sort of pastor us. He'd just come table to table chatting with us, making us feel at home and so forth. And he'd been with this assistant maitre d' that was, he'd stop and chat with us, and we had a lot of fun together. I told him, I said, I am thinking about applying for a job. He said, you'd have to divide your age by 4 if you can work here. But these all were men from Indonesia. They hired all these waiters from Indonesia. And I asked, and he himself was about, 35, 40 years of age, been there 15 years. And I said, why is it they choose these waiters from Indonesia? Here's what he said. He said, because Indonesian people are warmer people, friendlier people than most people in the world. And I said, now, wait a minute. You mostly have mostly Americans on this ship. Most of your ships are probably 80% Americans. I said, what is the difference, in your opinion, between the culture of Indonesia and the culture of America? Immediately, he said, we take care of our older people. First thing he said, we take care of our older people. He said, you have what you call, what are these you call sleep houses? You call them, I said, rest home? Yeah, yeah, rest home. He said, we don't have those. He said, in Indonesia, the parents take care of the children while they're little, and the children take care of the parents when the parents get older. Now, I'm talking to folks tonight. This, by the way, I'm not talking to those of you that mean that you're angry at your parents. I'm talking with those of you that love your parents, but you're busy here and there, doing this and doing that and doing this good thing and that good thing, and you have neglected your mom and dad, and there ought to be, in this room tonight, a dedication on the part of God's people. I'm not talking just to kids tonight. I'm talking to adults. If you've got a mom or a dad living, they ought to get a letter from you every week. I said every week. And a phone call from you every week. And they ought to be honored and respected and loved and cared for you. Listen, the loneliest crowd of people in this world tonight are the older people, forgotten by the kids they fed and taught to walk and taught how to talk in God's name. Again, I'm not talking to the heathen people. I'm talking to choir members. I'm talking to deacons. I'm talking to Sunday school teachers. I'm talking to college professors. I'm talking to Christian school teachers. I'm simply saying you're neglecting your moms and your dads because you are busy here and there. Many, a marriage has gone down the drain because the wife got busy here and there. Not doing evil, not doing bad, but busy. Maybe you got busy rearing your children and you neglected your husband. I want to say it again. Most important job for a married woman is her husband, not her children. God did not look down one day and see some kids that needed diapers changed and need to be burped and say, I'm going to make somebody take care of them. God looked down and saw a man that needed a helpmeet. And if you're a married woman tonight, you're not right with God. If you're not, if your husband is not number one in your life. And I'm just not talking about a speech that you make somewhere saying it ought to be. I'm talking about day by day by day by day. Your husband is the main thing in your life. But you're not the kind that's going to purposely neglect him. You just get busy here and there. Listen carefully to me. Your husband work is more important than your church work. If you can't teach a Sunday school class and be a good wife, resign your class and be a good wife. If you can't travel across the country speaking at ladies' conventions, as many of you do, and you're doing a wonderful job of it, and be a good, if you can do that and be a good wife, good. If you can't do it and be a good wife and cancel every speaking engagement, stay at home and be a good wife. I'm saying what we're doing is we're getting busy here and there. Busy. Not evil, not wicked, not bad, not sinful. Just doing good things. Many a marriage has gone down the drain because the wife was busy here and there. Listen carefully to me, talking to married people tonight. Three statements. Number one is, your best friend should be your spouse. Your best friend should be your spouse. Number two, let your diversion be your mate. Number three, let your hobby be with your mate. What some of you gals ought to do? You ought to get your book on how to fish. And some of you fellows ought to get your book on how to knit. You're not having as much fun now as you were a while ago, are you? Now, I'm trying to say, now, I'm not saying that it's wrong for a guy to go out and play golf with the guys, but I'll say this much. I'll say you'd be a lot better if your wife or your best friend, your closest associate, your day off, your recreation, and you could figure some hobby you could have with your wife. There are far too many guys spending far too much time with the guys. With the motorcycle crowd, and with the golfing crowd, and the fishing crowd. I'm not trying to be unkind tonight. I don't have to try. I can be unkind without trying. I'm simply telling you, our marriages are going down the drain because our wives are our lovers, but they're not our best friends. What? What would it? Busy here and there. Just busy here and there. Not doing wicked stuff, just doing good stuff. And the marriage goes down the drain. Many a child has gone bad because a dad was too busy here and there. Our son has made some mistakes. But I'll guarantee you, when he was growing up, his dad had time for his son. We shot baskets together, went soul winning together, played ball together, played catch together, threw passes together. We were pals. We played ping pong. When he was six years old, we'd play ping pong. I always tried to win. Now, what I did was I played my left hand. I'm right-handed, but I played my left hand, but I tried to beat him with my left hand. One of the saddest days of my life was at Bill Rice Ranch one day, and Dave was about 17 years old. We played ping pong, and he beat me, and I cried all night long. We were pals. We were buddies. I recall I taught him how to shoot a rifle. Yes, Mother, I taught him how to shoot a rifle. Well, you say, where'd you find a place to shoot a rifle? In our basement. I got a .22 rifle, bought me a bale of hay, and put that bale of hay down to the end of the basement, put a big old target there on it, and we'd lay there at one end of the basement and shoot that bale of hay. And one night, brother, he missed the whole bale of hay with a .22 rifle, and the bullet was going, bing, 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 bing. It was a war zone in our basement one night. I'm trying to say that some of you dads ought to quit playing with each other and start playing, spend some time with that boy of yours. Teach that boy how to shoot a gun. Teach that boy how to box. Teach that boy how to wrestle. Teach that boy how to throw a pass. Teach that boy how to shoot a basket. Teach that boy how to walk like a man and sit like a man and talk like a man. But you're too busy. Oh, you're not wicked. You're not vile. You're not filthy. You're just busy here and there. Many a pastor has failed in his church because he was busy here and there. Busy with the anti-queer movement. Busy with the anti-abortion movement. Busy in politics trying to get the right guy elected. There ain't no right guy running. Busy in politics. Busy in the moral majority, the late moral majority. Busy here and there. There are churches tonight pastored by good men, godly men, faithful men who love God and love this book, but the churches are floundering tonight because the pastor is doing good things and leaving the main calling undone, and that is the calling of building a New Testament church and ministering to his people. Busy here and there. Many a Bible owned by a good person lies unread tonight because its owner is busy here and there. Ask a question, choir. You spend more time practicing in the choir each week or reading your Bible? Do you spend more time on music or the Bible? Let me ask you a question, Christian school teachers. Do you spend more time in your school book or in your Bible? Oh, now hold it. You're doing good things. You are doing things that are good, but neglecting the only book that God ever wrote. Many a prayer closet has gone unvisited this week by good people, fundamental people, King James Bible people. Oh, you say, I believe the Bible from cover to cover. Then open the covers every once in a while. Many a prayer closet has gone unvisited because Christians are busy. Hear that? Oh, you meant to pray. You plan to pray. You believe in prayer. But your prayer closet has gone neglected. Why? Because you're out in the world? No. Because you're living a wicked, sinful life? No. You're busy here and there. Many a soul has died without Christ because Christians are busy here and there. One of the illustrations I even hate to tell you about 42 years ago, I was pastor in Texas. A man was dying. I think his name was Hughes. It may have been Harris, but I'm almost sure it's one of the two. A man was dying in Baylor Hospital in Dallas. He was related to one of our church members, and he had confidence in me, and I was only a kid preaching that time, about 29 years old. He asked the members of our church who were his relatives, he said, I believe in that young man, and I'm dying. I have terminal cancer. He said, would you ask him to come to see me? I'm not saved, and I want him to talk to me. I remember came up one night and said, Brother Hiles, and told me the relationship. I'm not sure exactly what it was, but a family member is unsaved. He believes in you. He wants to see you. He's dying with cancer. I put that little note in my pocket here on a 3x5 card to visit that man. And I got busy here and there. Every day I looked at that card. I've got to go see him. And by the way, I didn't do anything bad. I didn't do anything I shouldn't have done, say anything I shouldn't have said, go to where I shouldn't have gone, hear anything I shouldn't have heard, say anything I shouldn't have said. I just got busy here and there. After about 5 days, well, I said, I've got to go see him. I drove down to Baylor Hospital, walked in the little desk there, information desk, and I said, I want to see, I think it was Hughes or Harris, I want to see him. And she said, he passed away this morning. He passed away this morning. I wonder how many people are in hell because Christians are busy here and there. Drive down Holman Avenue sometime and read the signs on the buildings. Bazaar. Cakewalk. Cakes aren't to walk on, they're to eat. Cakewalk. Bar open. Good night, shut down the bar, and line folks are going to stand before the bar of God one of these days. Busy here and there. Church work. And good things. Like this man. He was busy here and there. His job was to take care of this prisoner, but he got busy here and there, and the prisoner escaped. Ladies and gentlemen, in God's dear name, let First Baptist Church of Hammond never get so busy in church work we forget that the souls of men must be reached or they die and go to hell. Busy here and there. Many a man, as I said a while ago, has neglected his children because he was busy here and there. Many a husband has neglected his wife because he was busy here and there. Many a wife has neglected her husband because she was busy here and there. Many a decent person is in hell tonight who intended to get saved, but they got busy here and there. Like when Paul preached to one of the great leaders of his day, it says that he trembled and said, when I have a more convenient season, I'll call for you. He said, I'm going to call you back one of these days. I want to get saved one of these days, but not right now. He was busy here and there. If you're not saved tonight, put that number one on your list of priorities. A businessman when I was pastor in Texas called me on the phone and he said, Reverend Hiles, he's our businessman. I've intended for years to get saved. I believe the Bible, believe in God. I've intended for years to get saved. And he sat and said, I have said many times on a Monday morning, next Sunday I'm going to church, I'm going to get saved. But he said, I'm a busy man. I've been busy. Not doing bad, doing good. But he said, this week I said, I'll put it in my schedule. I'm going to put it in my schedule to get saved this week. He said, now the scheduled time has come. Would you come and get me saved? Put it in your schedule to get saved. Don't get busy here and there. Don't say, when I have a more convenient season. The truth is, the most convenient season you'll ever have to get saved is right now. Busy here and there. Many a student has failed in school because he was busy here and there. By the way, students, while you're busy on your bus routes, and you should be, while you're busy with Bible clubs, and you should be, and while you're busy with your soul winning, and you should be, don't forget that you came to go to college. Don't forget that. And don't forget that you came to prepare to be a pastor, or evangelist, or missionary, or Christian educator, and you ought not to leave here without giving your best to get an education at 8400 Burr Street. But you got busy here and there. Many a Christian is backslidden tonight. Not because he went into deep sin. He got busy here and there. Doing what the apostle said in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Not talking about neglecting being saved. It's talking about neglecting the salvation that you have. Observations. Listen carefully and I'm coming down toward the end. Observation number one. Nurture the relationships that God has given you. Number two, Let your main emphasis in life be on the thing God put you here to do. Number three, live by schedule. Including in your schedule all of your obligations, and especially that main purpose of your life. Number four, and don't miss this, don't have many diversions. America has too many hobbies. It won't matter when you face God how many home runs Sammy Sosa hit, or how many points Michael Jordan made, or how many earrings he wore in his ears, or how much money you won gambling. It won't matter then. I say people in this room tonight, by the hundreds, have too many hobbies and too many diversions. I recall when I was a young man, I love sports. I've always loved sports. And I can't hang around them too much. I just spend all my time there. I love sports. I love competition. Boy, I love competition. One of my favorite times in my life when I beat my wife in Chinese checkers. I think it's 1964 last time I did it. But I love competition. I love sports. But I can't mess with them too much. When I was a young man, I went to 37 football games in 1 year. 37. I went to 44 basketball games in 1 year. Now, the truth is, I had to quit it. I'm saying, don't have too many, don't have many diversions. Number five, don't become addicted to any. Preacher, should I give up golf? It depends on whether you have to have it or not. Well, how will I know if I have to have it if you do it every week? That's too much. Everything's quiet. Same thing for fishing. I saw a picture in the paper the other day. Picked up the sport page and reading about the Cubs, because the Cubs are predictable. Boy, I like people that you can depend on what they're going to do. And I saw a picture of the coach of the Atlanta Falcon football team playing golf with his wife. Name is Reeves. Playing golf with his wife. Number six, when you enjoy a diversion more than your obligation, quit your diversion. There was a day when men would rather work than play. There was a day when America had some character and men had some pride in their work, and they'd rather work than play. And you get to the place where you enjoy your play more than you enjoy your work, then you better quit what you're playing. I'll close with this. I'm soon to be 73. If I can live another month and 10 days, I will have reached my 73rd birthday. I've pastored 52 years. As I said a while ago, I belong to the 0.5% club. 0.5% of all the pastors in America are over 70. 5 out of every 1,000. As I said a while ago, they all didn't die off. Most of them got busy here and there. And they decided that it'd be more fun to counsel full-time, have a full-time counseling ministry, than to pastor. Well, of course it would. Who wouldn't rather sit in his office and tell folks how to behave all day long rather than go to a deacon's meeting? And I'm kidding. But God's simple truth is that what happens is these men, oh, they get excited when they're young and they start a church, and boy, the church grows and they're having a big time, and boy, it's great, it's wonderful, but after a while, they're doing the same old thing over and over again, and they get busy over here with this project and busy over here with this project. Let me tell you something, preacher boys. You build you a New Testament church and you stay there till God calls you home. There are many, and I'm not being humble when I say this. I'm being truthful. There are many who can preach better than I. There are many who can teach the Bible better than I. There are many thousands of preachers in America who are better leaders than I am. And thousands of them far more gifted than I am. And why am I standing up here approaching my 73rd birthday? And these guys are not even pastoring anymore. I'll tell you why. I stayed on course. I have not gotten busy here and there. I ask you tonight, fathers, examine your relationship with your son or daughter. Have you been busy here and there? Mothers, examine your relationship with your children. Have you gotten too busy here and there? Wives, is your husband the biggest thing? I don't mean a talk. I mean, is he actually, practically, the biggest thing in your life and the thing for which you live the most for? Or have you gotten busy here and there? Fellas, do you cherish your wife like you promised to at the altar? Is she your best friend? Are you her best friend? Or have you gotten busy here and there? Children, whether you're 60 or 6, have you gotten busy here and there and forgotten your mom or your dad? How about your other relationships of life? Things you and how about your prayer life? You intended to pray, but you didn't. Why? You got busy here and there. How about the Bible? You intended to read the Bible and spend hours in it, but you got busy here and there. Miss Hiles and I are out of town. In the middle of every afternoon, I say, I want you to take a nap or something. I want to be alone. And I find me a place alone on the ship where I can have total quiet. And I spend an hour, sometimes 2 hours, in the book and alone with my Savior. I don't want to face Him someday. And He asks me, did you do what you're supposed to do? I don't want to look at Him and say, dear Jesus, I did a lot of good things. But these things you're talking about, no, I meant to. But I was busy here and there. What rearrangements did you make in your life tonight? What rearrangements did you make in your schedule tonight? Are you like the man of our text? I got busy here and there. And he was gone. Busy here and there. Not wicked people. Not filthy, vile, vulgar people. Not the Playboy philosophy. Not the New Age movement. Not the new morality. Not the drinking set, the cocktail set. Good people. Members of First Baptist Church of Hammond. Fundamental to the core. But a lot of us have been busy here and there. Busy here and there. Busy here and there. Our Heavenly Father, I put my finger tonight on the problems of most of us. The less important things have fought for our time. The more important things have stepped back in the shadows waiting for us to pursue them. Important things are not our suitors. Unimportant things are, but good things unimportant. I pray you'd help us to look at our lives, each to his own life tonight, and discover where he's been busy here tonight.